That was such an epic time of worship. We could have gone on. Let's just trust that we heard God correctly. Otherwise, Stephen is going to be in trouble. He was the one leading. So before I kick off, I just want to say that it's such a privilege to come and share with you guys this evening. I'm really honored and really humbled by the fact that you guys would even consider me. I know most of you guys know me, but for the rest of you guys, this is going to be quite a risk. Okay. All right, so where do we start off? My name is Yurik. I am an elder in Joshua Generation. I do serve, part of Andrew's team. And then I've got a beautiful wife and a little kid on that side. Both of them absolutely beautiful. I call them a hot pot. None of you guys are allowed to call her that, obviously. But that's them on this side. And then it's so lekker just to have some friends and family and even my manager on this side, eh? Yes, so I was just thinking about what Nadine shared, you know, that we still have this awesome opportunity where we can share the gospel in our workplaces. Otherwise, I probably would have been in prison or had a fine by now already. But having my manager as a testimony to say that the doors are still open. They're still open. You got to make room for that, eh? And then Stephen, with the Transvaal thing, I could have confused you. Because somebody told me the shirt looks like the old South African flag, bro. I was like, it's my favorite Joseph Technicolor coat, man. Huh? Cool. All right, so we're going to get straight into it. But before we do that, let's just pray. Father, I want to thank you so much, Lord, that you always desire, Lord, that we know you. And it's more than just a mind knowledge, God. You want us to hear your very heartbeat, King. And I believe with all my heart that when we know you, Lord, that's when our identity really becomes secure, King. It's not in ourselves, Lord. It's not about us, God. But there's so much freedom in knowing who you are, being secure in who you are, Lord. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll move us into the direction that you are going. And I just pray that faith would be stirred up tonight, King. And that the name of Jesus would be lifted up. Amen. So there's a lot of nerves. I haven't preached in like 2 years. And then coming off the back of Michael's epic preach, walking into the congregation, they're like, hey, were you here when Michael preached, you know? And I thought like, man, if I'm going to at least go on par with that, I thought, what do I have to do to try? I don't want to beat you. I mean, we're family. We love one another. But I just thought, you know, maybe calling it or naming my title, Risk It for the Biscuit Part 2. They say the sequel is always normally better, you know? I'm kidding. That's definitely not my preach, all right? So I'm going to be sharing on the generosity of God, all right? So, and it's going to come, it might seem a little heavy at first, but just bear with me, because at the end of the day, we're going to see God's heart toward us. I know for me personally, whenever I read the scripture, I always used to read it with so much fear and trembling, which I think there should be a degree of that somehow when we do read this. But it always challenged me. But when Brett asked me to come and share, and I started praying into like, God, like, what is it that you want to share? God showed me another side to it. So Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30. You guys with me? Okay. All right, so where we go? Here we go. From verse 14. I'm reading out to the ESV, so it might be a little different on that side. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another one. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the first 5 talents, or the five talents, went at once and traded with them. And he made 5 more talents. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug it in the ground, hid it, and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with him. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Yeah, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Yeah, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you have not scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him and said, you wicked and slothful servant, lazy. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and you gather and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should receive what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will more been given, and he will have abundance. But from the one who has not, even that he has will be taken away. And cast that worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I know it sounds hardcore. It's like, man, for me, whenever I read this, I actually felt so sorry for the guy with the 1 talent. Any of you guys read the story before, this parable? It just seemed so hard, like this guy was afraid. It wasn't like any other reason, you know, well, it says afraid and lazy. But I think, you know, when I read it and him saying, I was afraid and that's why I took the talent that you gave me and I hid it. But let's see what we can unfold from this. Okay, so let's start with verse 14. Can we get that one up there, Anton? You guys must forgive me, eh? If my sound sometimes like a s, it's just my accent. So sometimes I say sugar instead of sugar. All right, but bear with me. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. Here's the first thing that I want to say. The master, though he came across quite shrewd and quite hard, don't you think that this is a beautiful picture of God? The mere fact that he entrusted something to his servants. And I love this, that when you entrust somebody with something, it's not something that you just thumb suck. So when God calls us and when he chooses us, the word of God says, even before the foundation of the world, it's not like, hey man, I'm just going to give you this, you look after this. God goes and he looks at the detail of our lives and he goes, you know, for you, Pierre, you'll be a great businessman. And I want you to be a businessman in my house, so that the kingdom can be extended through finance. I don't think God's going to place me in that position, because he might go, Yuri, when it comes to business and finance, you're a little on the reckless side. You know what I mean? That's just an example. He might use me. We can never see. But at the end of the day, like, there's an entrustment that God gives us. And even just the wording that is used. I love the wording, because now I see it in a different light. He says, Master, you take what is not yours. You are a hard man. And then I looked at it and I went, actually, that is a very good reflection of Jesus. Why do I say that? Not because he's hard, but because he's zealous of what belongs to him. Man, this guy was zealous. And he used the example of money. He was zealous about his money. So this guy's doing everything that he can to reap finances, to get money, to store up this treasure, because this is something that he's passionate about. And so when I'm reading the scripture, I'm going, God, you're completely passionate about your church. And you'll do anything and everything it takes to pluck out people from the kingdom of darkness. So when I read that, I'm going, that's just a picture or a reflection of the zeal of God towards us. Amen? It's like to have some sort of response. Yo. Joseph. Okay. So just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind, that God would entrust people like you and I with something that is so valuable to him. So much so that he even goes, if you become a believer, if you call on my name, if you get born again, I'll take it even way deeper and I'll give you of my very self
precious Holy Spirit. Look at the person next to you and go, bro, you carry the very presence of God. Or sister. Here we go. Do you actually see that person in a different light now? Hey? Before you just sat down and she was just your friend or just your wife or just your partner or just a stranger. But now you look at them and you go, you carry the very presence of God with you. That is something to be an amen about here. Okay? All right, then, again, you can see again how detailed God is. So he goes, for the one, I'm going to give 5. For the other one, I'm going to give 2. And the last one, I'm going to give 1. Why did he do that? He did it because, once again, he's not trying to set us up for failure. That's not the God that we serve. Sometimes he do put us, and probably my notes are going to be jumbled, so I'm going to be using point 4 and point 2 somewhere. But yeah, just bear with me. Sometimes God places us in positions like that. Because I remember that story that Michael shared about Peter getting out the boat. And I love the fact that God wasn't testing Peter's ability. So when we read that scripture of God will not test you beyond what you can measure, I don't think the scripture is talking about our own ability. I think the testing is talking about the faith that God had entrusted us. Because he told Peter, you're going to fail me 3 times, deny me. But I pray that your faith won't fail. And I think when we hold on to faith, and I think as believers, there's a security and a rest in knowing that we're going to fail. But the faith inside of us is what's going to keep us going. Amen. And I think, like, you know, even the servants, I mean, possibly sometimes we have this spirit of comparison. And, you know, why does he have 5 talents? Why does this one have 2? God, why did you only give me 1? And, you know, for me, growing up, well, because I'm saved for about 16 years, so it seems like I grew up in the church. But it was something that I had to deal with and still to this day deal with. Like, so easy I get into this comparison thing. And I think sometimes we almost disqualify ourselves because we begin to compare ourselves. And somebody, I don't know who said it, but I think it's one of the best sayings. It says this, if God had called you to be a king, don't stoop down to be a servant. But if he's called you to be a servant, don't stoop down to be a king. And what that means is don't desire somebody else's gifting. You know, like honestly, like really, we are never going to flourish in the things of God if everybody wants to be a preacher. If everybody wants to be a teacher, a youth leader, man, we need people that are able to cook. We need people that are able to make money. We are needing people that are willing to go into mission trips. Like honestly, 412 people, bro, like we need lawyers. We need car managers. We need car managers. The kingdom needs to move. Sponsor cars, you know? No, I'm not kidding. You know, honestly, and I remember like even coming to church, like just struggling with identity. I remember before I got saved. I don't know if you guys will know these people that I'm going to mention now. But before I got saved, you grow up and, you know, see, growing up with a single mom, you begin to look for certain heroes. So my hero was Tupac, if you guys know who Tupac is. Kid you not, bro. Tupac Shakur, this guy still points, still jokes it out. But I kid you not, eh? I mean, I shaved my head bald. I was proper Tupac, ready to fight with anybody. And then I got saved. And then God toned it down. So I became Usher. You know? Any kidding. Anyway, but it's true. We all seem to look for this identity in terms of like, God, like, what is it that you're calling me to? And I want to say, for you, the worst thing you can do with your time on earth is not walk in your God-given destiny. They say that the graveyard is a place that is full of treasure because not a lot of people ever fulfilled what God had called them to. And my encouragement is, find out, God, what are you calling me to? If you want me to be a worship leader, God, let me worship you all day. Write songs. Like, even if you've never written a song before, just start being faithful with that little bit. Even if you go like, God, like, I'm so afraid to even step on the stage. Like, I don't know if I can do worship in any way. Just give it to God and begin to step out into those things. For some of us over here, no, I believe with all my heart that God places dreams and visions within us. And yeah, we've got this flesh. Oh, it takes a little bit of time of God building character and killing the flesh on a daily basis, because when the vision comes, sometimes, like with Joseph, we become arrogant in it. And then God just has to take us through a process where he brings us to a point where we go, oh, actually, I can't do this without you, God. But don't rob yourself and don't rob us as well from not fulfilling your God-given purpose. Look to your neighbor and apologize. Now, you got to look to your neighbor and apologize and say, I'm so sorry if I haven't been walking in my call. Okay. So, but seriously, like, just don't desire what somebody else has. Like, walk in what God has called you to. Actually, you know, while I was prepping this, God actually highlighted somebody for me or for us. And I just want to honor this person. I want to say that it's easy to go, you know what, God, when I'm a leader, I'm going to start to begin faithful. God, when I'm a community leader, I'll begin shepherding your people and encouraging others. God, when I'm married, then I'm really going to walk in my full potential. But as I was thinking about it in this week, I think there's somebody in this congregation that God really highlighted. And I'm like, I could see that person from probably about 6 years ago. And to this day, that zeal still burns. And you know who that is? I want to honor that person today. Jasmine, bro. Jasmine. Bro, honestly, I would have Jasmine come to our youth and preach any day to our girls. And let them know, like, man, living for God as a single person, please hear me. We've got a lot of unfired single ladies. I'm telling you. And I'm not pointing like this so that the single guys can see. I'm just going, okay, cool. We've got a lot of unfired. But for some reason, probably Jasmine, God just wanted to honor you tonight. All right. So stay living out that life that you're living. Did I say look to your neighbor already? Yeah. I'm kidding. Do you guys, even in this scripture as I've been reading, do you guys begin to see, like, just somehow the generosity of God? Number one, that he'd entrust us. Number two, that he's not going to give us talents that are beyond us. So I think if you can see it, the setup is definitely not for failure, but it is for bearing much fruit. All right. Let's read what happens once the servants get back. Actually, I'm just going to make mention of it. First servant, humbly he comes before God, and it seems like he's excited, but I think he really wants to impress the manager in one sense. And he goes, I've had five, you don't have to put it up, but I've created five more. And I think in that it's like the master goes, you know what, you see my heart and you're actually fulfilling what my heart desires. And he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a little. It's amazing that he uses a little, even with the guy with five talents. Two talents and one talent. And I think the heart behind it is God going, is there's more than the scripture says that he'll give to us, or the plans that he has for us is, that's the one. Thank you very much. Just say it. That's it. Exceedingly abundantly more than what we could ask. The only reason why I never remembered it because it had a lot of in it, so forgive me, okay? No, dude, that is definitely the one. Exceedingly abundantly more than what we could ask for. So in other words, that guy that had five talents, God was going, I've got so much more to give you. Don't rest or settle just for five talents. Especially when I think about leaders. I think a lot of the time we go, finally, I'm a leader, and then we just drop it over there. Actually, as a leader, you got to go like, God, I know this more. I know this more. And sometimes we need to look behind us and go like, okay, if there's one person that is following me, maybe you are that one talented person, but if you know that God's calling you for more, and there's only one person that is responding, you've got to go, Lord, maybe my life is not completely surrendered to you. Because maybe God does have more for you. Amen. Second servant, exactly the same thing. Master, 2 talents, here they are. And he goes, well done, my good and faithful servant. Here's 2 more talents. All right? Third servant, and this is where I want us to focus. I'm going to pray, even now, Lord Jesus, all jokes aside, Lord, that you'd speak into our hearts now as we read the response of the third servant, Lord. Because all of us, Father, got a little bit of the third servant in our hearts, Lord. Please, Jesus. And the third servant responded and he said, so I'm going to read from verse 24. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Yeah, you have what is yours. But his master answered him and said, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. At my coming, should I have received with my own with interest? And then he takes it away from him. And this is something that is true even to my own heart. About a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, just a little over that because I'm going to be married for about 2 years now, I got called on to eldership. And I remember the very words of Andrew as I was coming up and they were about to pray me in as an elder. And his words was this. This guy has been doing a journey with God. We're kind of sensing a call on him. And we're going to risk it. Sounds a lot like this master gang, like we're going to entrust something to you. And so inside of me, because of my own brokenness, I completely saw it on the other end. I'm like, are they setting me up to fail? You know what I mean? Like, genuinely, just because of my own brokenness, I'm thinking, like, I've got to make sure that I'm following this road, prim and proper, above reproach. And as I was praying into this, even this morning during our service, God again had just highlighted something. And I could see something over here in this servant that was definitely a part of me. And as I mean, now, over the past 2 years serving on eldership team, I made mistakes and I fell and I had to be publicly disciplined because of my falling. And somehow in that, God would still see that this is definitely what I'm calling this guy to. And in that moment, that it was genuinely like a Peter moment where my faith never failed. I was disappointed in myself. I was disappointed that I failed the church in one sense. But I knew, like, God, there must be something. Like, what is it, Lord, that you are busy doing? What, like, what's going on? And God actually shook my world through that. And the thing that he was showing me is that you, deep down inside, you've got a fear of man and a fear of failure. And when I look at this servant wasn't fearful. Well, please hear me. There was an aspect of him, a little bit of fear toward the master. But his biggest fear was the fear of failure. And when he knew that he was going to fail with this 1 talent, he thought, you know what? I'm going to try to please my master somehow. And he might just be a little impressed that at least the talent is not gone. And in that moment, God goes, or the master goes, hey, actually, that's not what I've given you. And the Lord rebukes him. And I want to say this. For me, my breakthrough came at the 412 conference of this year. And even just before that, when they had just brought me back onto eldership team, and this is how they brought me back, they said, let's walk a journey with this guy. And first of all, I was like, geez, I really didn't deserve to have the second chance. But we serve a God of second chances. And I remember just worshiping right here. Andrew was standing about here. It was an elders meeting. Just crying, pouring. Couldn't stop crying. And just like, God, like, why? Why did I fail this way? And I remember at the end, the 2 of us were just chatting. And I said, Andrew, did you ever have somebody so broken on your team? And he just looked at me, nodded. And in one sense, it was very encouraging to know that maybe I wasn't the only elder that failed. Maybe there has been others before. But somehow I knew that there was going to be a sense of restoration. And I want to say, sometimes even in your background, without you realizing, you can develop a sense of fear of man or a sense of failure. And I think that thing can seriously rob you from God's call on you. Please don't hear me. In our brokenness, we can become, I'm not afraid of anyone. You know what I mean? We still got to have that humility. We still got to have that honor toward one another. So my leaders, I mean, Rian is younger than me. We're both eldest, but he's my leader. And bro, when I talk to Rian, the posture of my heart, even when I chat to guys on team, Stephen was saying like, bro, what, you know, you're on the team, just, I was like, bro, how do you guys normally do it? I want to submit to you. Even when I chat to a community leader or a youth leader, because the moment we think of ourselves a little bit above the other person, we completely miss the grace of God upon our lives. And anyway, so I was looking and God just showed me, you know, like, Yul's like, you grew up in a house of where there was failure. My grandfather had his own business and it failed. And then he became an alcoholic because of that. My mom and dad, who really tried to keep their marriage together, that failed. And they just seemed to have been this line of failure all the time. So without me even realizing, I came into the church with an attitude of maybe I'll also fail at this one day. So can you imagine you having such a heart and now they bring you onto eldership? All that you're thinking is like, I'm going to mess this up big time. And you know what? It was okay. No, please hear what I'm saying. It wasn't okay that I messed it up big time. It was good that I had a God of second chances. All right, please, guys, wherever you find yourself, if you feel disqualified, I really believe that God just wants to ignite faith in you again to say, like, man, come back to me. Come back to me. So my breakthrough came like this. I was at the 412 conference, and God has been speaking to me through the team as well, and they said, Yul, for you, there's one area that you've got to work at. And that's confrontation, speaking the truth in love. So for me, like, bro, I'll preach and I'll share and, you know, share a word of encouragement and prophetic words. That's all fine. But speaking where you've got to almost bring about a little bit of a correction. Bro, I'm talking about sweaty palms. What are they going to think? Are they going to not like me after this? And actually, that's just, it's pride. Pride. I was concerned about what people would say. And on the last session of the conference, it's like God has been speaking all the time. Jonathan Stanfield gets up and he shares a story about, what's this lady's name? Vashti and Esther. And he shares and he says how Vashti was initially the first queen. And that was her rightful inheritance. And the king had called for her because all he wanted to do was they were having a merry time and he wanted to show off her beauty. So he wasn't even going to abuse her or make her do silly things. He literally just wanted to say, this is my most prized position. Just check how beautiful she is. And she denies him. And of course, he's embarrassed. And then his counselors come with him and they say, hey, bro, if you're going to let that slip, then that means all our wives are going to feel the same way. So when we want to show off our wives in one sense, they're going to begin to rebel because you're breaking something open from the top. And he had to make a call. And so they dethrone her in one sense. They don't kill her. They just dethrone her. And then there's the story of Esther. And Esther comes. And God gives Esther a call. And in that call, she has a choice because if she doesn't, well, the choice is this, that if she doesn't step up, that a whole nation would be destroyed. And she knew that approaching the king, even though she's already like somewhat in with him, she still needed to have this humility and the risk was she was going to lose her life. And I love the way Jonathan put it. He said that if she didn't take that risk, that it would have been genocide. And what she chose was she'd rather lay down her life so that the people of God could be saved. And I want to say this to you. Don't allow your idolatry or fear of man or fear of failure to rob you from what God is calling you. Because if you walk in your destiny, you can save the person next to you, you can save me, we can fulfill the purpose of God. And as I heard that, I realized like me not speaking the truth in love, me not correcting at times, because this is the grace that God has given me, I'm going to see that person be destroyed and ultimately the congregation. Because of my fear of man. You guys with me? So don't fear. And I mean, when you do find yourself in a place where you're with a brother or sister and you know that they're not living according to the way Jesus would want us to live. Like, don't also go and just be like, hey, you're not living in the light the way you're supposed to be living. Do it with all humility. Realize that you could have also been in that place. Because I'm telling you, the devil is also conniving. We, without us even realizing, we find ourselves in this place. And you, by God's grace, he sends people across our paths to encourage us. Hey, step out of that sort of lifestyle. Amen. And then I want to just show a little bit of the generosity of God. And I want to speak about the guy with the 5 talents. And it's amazing that with the guy with the 5 talents, God goes and he says, well, the master goes and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. It's 5 more. And I love it because he didn't go or add anything. He didn't go like, you know, here's 3 more, here's 2 more, here's 1 more. He almost like multiplied it. And it just shows the generosity of God. And then, when we weren't faithful with that 1 talent, and I think that's where grace comes in. And he goes and he takes even that extra talent, and he gives it to the person that had already had 5. And I think for us, we've got to look at God in that light. I'm telling you, when you make right with God, no matter what space you find yourself today to be in, you don't have to think like, okay, maybe I need to be faithful, 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 faithful. No, no, no. It's just come to me. Come to me. There's something about a repentant heart that God goes, I'm going to give you over and above just even what you're kind of sensing inside of you. And when I look around us over here, I see leaders that can impact and change this world. Honestly, like really, like I was chatting to some of the guys and I said, even as a young, not a young believer, but just coming into Joshua generation, looking at guys like Francois and Alberto, like these guys were like heroes to me. They were everywhere, all the time, serving God, passionate about him, you know. And I just think like, your God, you must have so much more for us. So much more for us. And that's the generosity of God. He never gives us what we deserve. It's always over and above. There's always more in God. Always more in God. It's kind of short, so maybe where's the, you know, they've got their background music thing, normally helps. You want to come through? Very cool. I want to end with a story of Zacchaeus.